Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes this, "Therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." I don't lose heart because I've received this ministry. In verse 4, it's this striking statement here in verse 2. We've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, I said yesterday, this could mean that we've kept our lives pure, but the flow of what he's saying is this: we've renounced the hidden things of shame. We who have been given this ministry, this powerful, effective ministry of the glory spirit that is permanent, that is effectual, that is sealing for the day of redemption in our hearts. I have then renounced all these feelings of shame that well up in me about the offense of the gospel. Well, that's exactly the meaning of Romans 1. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save all those who believe." Paul was constantly telling Timothy this: don't be ashamed. Paul explains for us the real tendency of our hearts. And this is just open and honest. And it's something that I have to daily struggle with myself as a pastor, you know. Is it really going to be effective to confront people about their lives and about their sins and present Jesus as he is, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense? And so Paul says, look, I know this struggle. I've renounced these feelings of shame when it comes to what I have to do. That means that Paul made a conscious choice in his preaching to be direct, hard-hitting, and unwavering in presenting Jesus as he is, a rock of offense. Remember, he said this in Romans 15. "I know I've been bold to you on some points. I know I've been very bold, but you have to understand that I do this to minister the gospel to you." So what we have here, my friends, is a renouncing of these feelings, these very real struggles that are in every pastor's heart to soft pedal the word of God, to have more people come in and to like him. It has never, ever, ever been a qualification for a Christian ministry to be liked. Never. You ever wonder why Jesus is not much of an offense today to anyone? Hell is out, sin is out, and the sense of worship is that Jesus is here just to be a good buddy to help you along your way in your hard journeys. He's a good moral coach rooting you on. Essentially, what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth is, open your eyes. See what many are doing around you. Notice what he says: we're not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So, listeners, dear listener, open your eyes. See what's going on around us, because nothing's new. All of this is so familiar to 2009, 2000, whatever. All of this is familiar. So, Paul says, this is a very important verse, because the Bible is constantly coming to us and saying, do not be deceived, test the spirits. You know, those who are hard-hitting and direct are often characterized as joyless and stuffy, or whatever they want to be characterized as. People attack that, but Paul says, be careful. Test the spirits. The danger looms over us that we can be so easily turned to that which has a form of godliness. And he says here, he uses this word for crafty. It literally means being capable of anything. And he combines this with adulterating the word of God. So then These super apostles are capable of anything in their ministries. They're capable of doing anything as they adulterate the word of God. Paul says, I renounce all that. Those hidden tendencies of my heart. In other words, I'm not coming in and adulterating the word of God and doing whatever it takes to advance my own agenda. I said this yesterday. How refreshing it would be. How refreshing it would be. Can you imagine if every preacher who preached came in and had no secret agendas? No agendas, but preach the unadulterated word of God. Can you imagine the effect that would have if he consciously said, I'm not going to worry about what people think. I'm not going to try to please. I'm not going to try to entice. I'm not going to try to tickle ears, but I'm just going to be faithful into this one great task of preaching the word in season, out of season, preaching Christ in season, out of season, the unadulterated word of God. One goal, not to change the church into my design, but to preach Christ. There was a pastor candidating at a church, very well-known pastor, and there was a question posed to him. He said, do you plan to change anything in the church? The pastor said, not the first year. That is an agenda. The pastor doesn't do any changing. The pastor has one job, preach the word in season, out of season. The Spirit does the changing. And so here you deduce what a false ministry looks like. The super pastors are obsessed with success. And in craftiness to become the focal point of the church, and I highlight that and I emphasize that, they want to be the focal point of the church. They want an appealing ministry where the people will be wooed and awed with him. He takes the word of God, he uses it as a platform for his agenda. No sense is ever felt of expositing and bringing to bear the word of God on the conscience. But on the contrary, he's pandering to people's carnality. He is appealing. He is a happy-go-lucky guy. He is unoffensive. And he is adulterating the truth by making it seem that he has come to give you some great secret to make your life happy. Though actually, if the people are honest, they've never come to it. Paul was watching this. In his day, people flocked to it. I'll never forget being at a coffee shop and hearing two guys talk about church. And he says, you know, all these other churches, there's this church down in Seattle, and it's got thousands of people. Thousands. Something's going on there. And I think, is it? Yeah, something's going on. How do we know it's of the Lord? You should always ask that. How do you know? Paul had to rehearse for these people, the church in Corinth. Listen, the gospel is foolishness to the world, dear Christians. It's foolishness. Paul's saying, we're proclaiming our God, our Christ and our King, who was what? Crucified. That's horrid in a culture that was repulsed to the idea that a God would go to the cursed cross. Come on, they make pillars of their gods. They put them in statues and on platforms and great temples for people to come worship. Apollos and Zeus and all these Roman and Greek gods, you still see them platformed to this day. Paul was proclaiming something so foolish that Christ Jesus himself was crucified on a cross that was reserved for the worst of criminals. That was unheard of, my friends. So what's Paul's answer? What's Paul's philosophy of ministry? Simply put, because it's the ministry of the Spirit, I can be bold in magnifying the truth. I don't have to be embarrassed about the truth in the face of those who hate it and with the prospect of so many rejecting it. And I have to say this to myself, to me as a pastor all the time, you know, someone gets mad at the message. The tendency is to really struggle, you know, and people in the church begin to say, maybe something's wrong with the whole ministry here. Maybe something's wrong with the pastor. And maybe the pastor is giving a bad message. I don't know. But the point is, if it's the clear, unadulterated truth of God's word, preach faithfully. The problem is the heart of the sinner. You know, Paul was so confident of the ministry of this Holy Spirit that it was effective. He says this in chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, listen, we use great boldness of speech. And he expands on what that boldness of speech is in the middle of verse 2 here. In 2 Corinthians 4, he says, so let me put this in context. So we're not as so many soft peddling the word of God. We're not adulterating the word of God. We're not being crafty with it. We're not doing whatever we want to do. But so instead of all that, here it is. By manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's that word manifestation that's the key word here. The word means to bring to light the full truth, full disclosure. Paul's saying, contra these super apostles who love to be crafty with the word and play on people's emotions and pander to their desires and build an element of the mystical and the unknown, we have no hidden agenda. Our goal is this, to be simple, to be clear, and to be straightforward about the truth. How do you be straightforward about the truth in an effective manner? Well, you have to preach to the conscience. What is that? That means that one could preach towards a lot of other things, you know. You could preach to the ego to please men. You could preach to the emotions to try to manipulate. Never forget what Robert Dabney once said. There will be many in hell because they could not distinguish between animal passions and genuine religious affection. Paul said, I bring to bear the word of God, the truth, commending it to the conscience. Because you preach to the conscience, people are forced to a decision to either look outside of themselves to Jesus Christ and his righteousness, or they get mad. Dear friends, what are you hearing? Does the preaching so confront your life that you are driven to Jesus? That's the whole goal. That sinners may be driven to Christ and find true happiness in him, for he is life and righteousness to all who look to him in true faith.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.